First letter from our foresters. 2nd July, 1917, Dunkeld, Perthshire, Scotland. Dear Sir, in all probability, the friends and relatives in Newfoundland of A Company, Newfoundland Forestry Companies, are anxious to know how we are getting along. So, on behalf of the boys, I send you a brief letter with the hope you may give it publicity. The morning of our departure from the homeland, aboard the SS Florizel, was a memorable one for all. The crowds waving farewells and bidding bon voyage stimulated the lads so that the embarkation was conducted with lightheartedness. Some of the company left home and were upon the ocean for the first time. It certainly was a change for them to look out upon such a broad expanse of water and watch their native land recede from sight. On the way to Canada, where we later joined another transport, we had a jolly good time. The ship's officers were very attentive and looked after our requirements in good style. We were all pleased with the manner in which the catering was carried out. Major Carty, who was in command, Captain Baird, and Lieutenants Cole and Harvey were untiring in their efforts on behalf of the company and instituted various games by way of amusement for us. Whilst in Canada, we had the customary routine work and parades, and some of the boys were given furlough to enable them to visit friends. Altogether, a very pleasant time was spent there. A large ocean liner, the RMS Olympic, of 9 decks, the speed of 24 knots, called there for us, and together with a goodly number of Canadians, we embarked for England. There were about 6,000 troops on board when we put out to sea, all of whom were comfortably quartered on the great liner. Perfect weather and a smooth sea favoured us all the way across, and a fortunate thing it was, as many of the Canadians had never seen salt water before, much less having been on it. Physical exercises and route marches were indulged in every day, and thus the time passed pleasantly for all. Great precautions for saving of life were taken on board ship, and from reveille to lights out, all the troops, officers included, wore life belts. It looked rather odd to see so many men wearing cork yokes around their necks, parading the deck. Every day an alarm was sounded. Then the troops took up their appointed stations. The watertight compartments were closed, and the boat's crews stationed at their respective places. Daily, a strict lookout was kept for enemy ships, as it was understood a large reward was offered the commander of the submarine that would sink us. Few ships were met, but when one was sighted, great excitement prevailed. When 2 days from this side, we were met by an escort of torpedo boat destroyers. They were soon recognized as American ships, and the fears of all were greatly alleviated. This patrol accompanied us beyond the danger zone, and shortly after we dropped anchor, two of them steamed by. Such an ovation as was tendered the Stars and Stripes by those on the troop ship has seldom been given anywhere. At the port of disembarkation, Liverpool, we were kept aboard all day, awaiting necessary preparations for railway transportation. Thousands of people visited the dock, and probably 30,000 more crossed the River Mersey on the ferry boats from various landings to bid a hearty welcome to the Khaki, who had come so far that they may be of use and assistance to the mother country in this hour of her need. It was a glorious Sunday morning when we entrained, and our company moved out with light hearts for the land of the thistle and heather. The railway journey to Ayr was a short one, a brief stop being made at Carlisle to change engines. The scenery along the route was magnificent. In fact, it seemed as if we were passing through an immense park all the way. Men, women, and children enthusiastically greeted us as we passed through the city, town, and village. As we drew over the Scottish border, the country in places was a little more irregular and broken, forcibly reminding us of sections of Newfoundland. Only the grandeur of it all was somewhat different. Upon arriving at Ayr, we were met at the station by officers and men of the 1st Newfoundland Regiment, who accompanied us to the quarters at the racecourse. There we were given over to the care of Lieutenant Kenneth Goodger, and after refreshing the inner man, we were soon tucked away beneath our blankets. We spent a very pleasant fortnight at Ayr and enjoyed the change immensely. Ayr is a little watering town on the west coast of Scotland and is quite a romantic place, owing to Robert Burns, the poet, being associated with its history. The River Aire, River Dune, Tea Gardens, Burns Monument, Burns Cottage, Long Hill Avenue, and several other beauty spots are worthy of a visit by anyone going to that town. It is a very cleanly and well-kept place. The people are very kind and sociable, and do not exhibit any aristocratic traits. The great stretch of sandy shore along the waterfront, from the harbor to the River Dune, is the center of attraction on fine days. We moved out from Ayr on the morning of June 25th, arriving here at Dunkeld in the afternoon, and again went under canvas. We are located in a beautifully wooded section of the country, where the timber is of fair growth and very accessible. A good road leads right up from the railway station to the sawmill and around the belt of timber where we are to operate. Several horses and equipment have already reached us, and houses are being erected for officers, men, and equipment. The men are charmed with the country, as it excels anything we expected to see. We are being well looked after by the officers, who are doing everything possible for our comfort and welfare. There is a good supply of provisions for all, and we are being well fed. A canteen has been opened here by the mill. A milkman brings a supply of white fluid every morning. And besides the supplies procured here, our field rations are being forwarded every day. There is no cause for complaint on any account. In case of rainy weather, the men will be supplied with oilskins, similar to those used at home. The estate upon which we are located belongs to the Duke of Athol, and is a very extensive one. The beautiful River Tay runs through it, and from our camp we can look down upon its water and think of happy days spent canoeing on the rivers of Newfoundland. The scenery in this vicinity is majestic, presenting in some respects the wild grandeur of Bay of Islands. Red deer, roe deer, fallow deer, ptarmigan, rabbits, hares, and other game are plentiful here, and we frequently see some of them quite near the camp. No doubt there are a number in Newfoundland who feel inclined to enlist in the forestry companies, but are holding back to hear how we are progressing. If such is the case, they can take my word for it that they would never regret the action. There is room and work for thousands of foresters over here. So, boys, enlist right away, and come over to the help of your king, your country, and your homes. Don't wait until a later date, but let your slogan be, "Do it now." Yours respectfully, J.A. Barrett, Newfoundland Forestry Companies.